Well, hello, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth again, and welcome back, brothers and sisters, to our study of the Gospel. Our study of the Gospel, the second letter G in the ABCs of Christian Growth series, actually study number 7A is called G2, and we're studying the Gospel. What does the Bible say about the Gospel? Well, we defined gospel, the word gospel. We went into the scriptures and heard men speak of the gospel, like Martin Luther and several others. And then we went through the 10 different gospels in the scriptures. And we last study, our fifth study that we had, this will actually be our sixth class. But our fifth study, we went over the things of which the gospel is a source of. And we also talked about what the gospel was defined, how the gospel, what the gospel is defined as in scripture. Things of which the gospel is a source of, just recapping a little bit to get started and get going, is the gospel is a source of hope. You know, when we went over these, it kind of comforted me to hear these things about the gospel, didn't it you? It should have. It's always comforting to know that God's word has power behind it and that it indeed can help us in the way that it says it can and that it does. The gospel is the source of hope. The gospel is the source of salvation. The gospel is the source of faith, we found out in the scriptures. The gospel is the source of life. We also found out that the gospel is the source of afflictions, and the gospel is the source of peace, And I'm glad the Lord has arranged and carried out the plan of the gospel of the grace of God as perfectly as he has, and has, and for now, going on 2,000 years, people have been entering into the kingdom of God, and when they die, they've been going directly to heaven because of this gospel and because of what it has brought about that the Old Testament couldn't do. And the Lord is so perfect about the way that he puts things together, and he has it planned out. And the more you learn about the scriptures and you learn about the gospel, you're going to find out that you're not dealing with one of these gods that has always got to have questions answered and things just not making sense and everything else. When you're dealing with our God and our Bible and the scriptures that we go by, and you're dealing with the gospel that he brought about, you're dealing with perfection. And you're dealing with something that doesn't do anything but get better and better, and doesn't leave any stones unturned. It doesn't leave any questions unanswered. Everything is perfect having to do with the Lord and his book and the gospel. Today we're going to get into our study again, and we're going to talk about how the gospel was and is proclaimed. We're going over a variety of things, what the scripture has to say concerning the gospel, so that we can just know the truth about what the Bible talks about when it's talking about the gospel. We have found out that the gospel is synonymous with the Bible, and that everything, the summation of all of everything that the Bible talks about the gospel, winds up at the Lord Jesus Christ, and it should. How the gospel was proclaimed and is proclaimed. Well, let's begin. Well, let me read you this scripture first. You probably got it memorized by now. This is the main scripture that we've been wanting to go over, or that we have been reciting over and over as we go down through the study of the gospel, and it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. And if you memorize any other scripture concerning the gospel, this be the one that you want to put to memory. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. If you keep in memory and what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. That is the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel of the grace of God. That is the gospel that that births us into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. And it is the gospel that validates our salvation and brings about all the different things that salvation accomplishes. Boy, salvation is a big thing. It's not just being born again. There is so much, legalities that God put together so that his holiness isn't violated, the judicial part of it. I mean, all of this different stuff having to do with salvation and the gospel and you being born again. I mean, there's many, many things that have taken place. And you can study that under our study of salvation. And you can get in there and find out. And I think even in the All Support Studies on Barnhouse Ministries, there is a portion in there that explains all the different things that took place at salvation. And you'd be interested in reading that because a lot of people have, this used to be common stuff that they taught Christians right after they were born again in the churches. Nowadays, you will rarely hear the words even spoken, like regeneration, adoption, propitiation, sanctification, glorification, and all these different shuns, if you will, that have to do with your salvation. All these things that took place that you need to know about. Because it encourages you and it lets you know that your salvation is not cheap and that it's brought about by God himself, and it shows the wisdom of God and all the wisdom of all the different avenues of your salvation that needed to be taken care of and accomplished and put in place so that whenever you believed on Jesus Christ and believed on the gospel, all of these things could take place and nothing else need to be done. And that's exactly the way the Lord accomplished it and put it together. And you should go and study that sometimes and read over it. Barnhouse Ministries and the things that took place at salvation. And I think even our study on salvation in the ABCs of Christian growth, the assurance of salvation, the verse 1, the letter A, has that in it also. And you'd be impressed to go and read that, and you'd be encouraged also. But today we're going back into our study of the gospel, and we're going to talk about, first of all, how the gospel was and is proclaimed. And we'll begin with this. Well, it was proclaimed in the Old Testament. We talked about it on our last study and the study prior to that in our study of the gospel about the Old Testament, that it was proclaimed in the Old Testament. How the gospel was and is proclaimed? Well, it's proclaimed in the Old Testament. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8. And the Bible says, "And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed." You see, that was even valid back when the Lord was talking to Abraham, talking about all nations being blessed. Because why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ would come from him. The Lord Jesus Christ would come from him. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 18. It was proclaimed in the Old Testament. "And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2 and 6 says this, "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Unbelief. You see, the gospel was proclaimed in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, what are we talking about? We're talking about how the gospel was and is proclaimed. Was and is proclaimed. That's not all. Here's another one. It was proclaimed by the prophets. It was proclaimed by the prophets. The gospel was proclaimed by the prophets. Romans chapter 1 and verse 1 through 3. The Bible says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. It was proclaimed by the prophets. It was proclaimed by the prophets. How the gospel was and is proclaimed. It was proclaimed in the Old Testament, and it was proclaimed by the prophets. What else? Well, it was proclaimed by John the Baptist. It was proclaimed by John the Baptist. Mark chapter 1, verse 1 through 7. The Bible says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of a skin about his loins. And he did eat locusts and wild honey and preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. It was proclaimed by John the Baptist. John the Baptist came before the Lord. Remember, he was born 6 months prior to the Lord, and they grew up, and John the Baptist came in and prepared the way of the Lord and introduced him and brought him to light there at when he was preaching the baptism of repentance, and the Lord Jesus Christ started his ministry right there with him and was baptized by him. It was proclaimed by John the Baptist. What are we talking about? How the gospel was and is proclaimed. What else? Well, it was proclaimed by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The gospel was proclaimed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 14 and 15 says this, Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. It was proclaimed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew also said, mentioned this in chapter 4 and verse 23. The Bible says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. It was proclaimed by the Lord Jesus Christ. How the gospel was and is proclaimed. It was proclaimed in the Old Testament. It was proclaimed by the prophets. It was proclaimed by John the Baptist. And it was proclaimed by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And that's not all. The gospel's proclaimed. It was and is proclaimed by chosen men. By chosen men. Is that what the Bible preaches? Is that what the Bible teaches? Well, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9 through 12, listen to this. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what and what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. The gospel, how the gospel was and is proclaimed. It was proclaimed in the Old Testament. It was proclaimed by the prophets. It was proclaimed by John the Baptist. It was proclaimed by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and it was and is proclaimed by chosen men. Somebody that was chosen to show you the gospel. And they did. And they revealed it to you. And that's what Brother Peter was saying there. He said, which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. It was preached, it was, and is preached by chosen men. Men that are called to preach the gospel. And we are instructed in the scriptures to preach and teach. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded thee. The scriptures. Amen. So we have seen so far how the gospel was and is proclaimed. Now let's talk about something else. How, where, and to whom the gospel should be proclaimed. Does the Bible teach us that? Does the Bible teach us how the gospel should be proclaimed? Does it teach us where the gospel should be proclaimed? And does it teach us whom the gospel should be proclaimed to? How, where, and to whom the gospel should be proclaimed? Well, yes, it does. First of all, the gospel should be proclaimed to all and every creature. The Bible says that Jesus died for all men, not just the saved ones, but for all men. All men and women that die today and in the past and in this present second that we're talking, people that are going into eternity, and they go to hell with their sins paid for. They just did not procure it. They didn't believe on the gospel and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They denied it. They refused it. And they went to hell. And Jesus paid for all men's sins. But they wouldn't apply. They didn't apply it. And they died, and they went to hell. And they're in hell this very second, and will be, until they're taken out of there, brought before the white throne judgment, and they are not going to be judged whether or not they're saved or not at the white throne judgment. They're already condemned. Every man is already condemned before he's saved. And if you die without Jesus Christ, and die without being born again, you die in your sins, and you die as a condemned person under the wrath of God. And you go to hell, and you will be pulled out of hell at a future time and brought before the white throne judgment, and you will be sent, and that judgment is going to be to judge what degree of punishment you will receive for eternity. Yeah. You're already condemned. You're already going to the lake of fire. It's just going to be that you're going to stand before God, and He's going to show you every speck of truth where you could have received the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the books are going to be opened, and He's going to show you where you are guilty in every single way, and you're going to confess it. And you're going to say Jesus is Lord, or the condemned will. They'll confess Jesus Christ, and they'll bow. And then they'll be bound hand and foot and cast into the lake of fire for eternity. Just don't let that be you. If you're sitting here listening to this and you're not born again, the most important thing that could happen in your life right this very second is that you hear the gospel, believe the gospel, and procure the gospel. Apply it to you yourself. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's the gospel of the grace of God. You don't have to do nothing. You can't do nothing. You're guilty. You're condemned. Now, do you want to be saved? Jesus Christ died for your sins. He was buried. 3 days later, He rose from the dead, and He spent about 40 days in His resurrected body, still here on earth, and then He ascended back to the Father where He is presently at this very second. And if you will believe that and believe what the Scriptures say, the Lord promises He will give you eternal life, write your name down in the book of life, and you don't have to worry about all that anymore. That's how everybody has been saved since Jesus' crucifixion. That's how everybody gets their name written in the book of life and goes to heaven. No exceptions. That's it. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You either believe that or you don't. And if you're not saved, I encourage you to believe that. Choose to believe that. Will to believe that. And ask the Lord, and how shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you open your mouth and call on the Lord to save you, and tell Him that you believe that Jesus Christ done what He said He done, and you believe God's word that Jesus Christ is the Savior, and that He died for your sins, and you want to apply that to yourself, and you want your sins forgiven in Jesus' name, God will do that for you. He done it for the rest of us. We're no more special than you. He'll do it. He died for all men. How, where, and to whom the gospel should be proclaimed? Well, the gospel should be proclaimed to all and every creature. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16, the Bible says, and He said unto them, go ye into all the world, and all the world has been gone into, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 23, if you continue in faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Kind of hard for people to keep saying, well, what about them that haven't heard? Well, preach to every creature which is under heaven. You think really, really, really that God the Father, that God put together this perfect plan of salvation, incarnated into a human being, and his son was born named Jesus, died on the cross, shed God's blood, suffered, died, was buried, and resurrected, and ascended back to heaven, and went through all of that so that somebody could not hear? That's ridiculous. Every person, every creature is going to have the opportunity at least one time to receive Christ and believe on Him. Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. That's what we just read. The gospel should be proclaimed to all and every creature. What else? Well, the gospel should be proclaimed everywhere at all times. The gospel should be the main theme of every city. It ought to be seen. It ought to be on signs. It ought to be preached in the churches. It ought to be preached on the street corners. It ought to be on tracts being passed out. The gospel, the word of God, and the gospel should be distributed everywhere. The Bible says in Romans chapter 15, verse 19 through 20, and the gospel in the late 1800s and early 1900s, before all these other versions started coming out, and the Jesuit reams and the Vaticanus and Sinaiticus and all them, I don't know if I said that right, but all of them, when they started coming out and really corrupting things and the devil was attacking everything having to do with the Word of God was prominent. It was everywhere. Everywhere. The gospel should be proclaimed everywhere at all times. Romans chapter 15 and verse 19 and 20 says, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. That's one thing Paul done. He would go somewhere, and if Christ had already been preached or somebody was already there preaching Christ, he'd go somewhere else. He said, yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. The gospel should be proclaimed everywhere at all times. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 6 says, and I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. That pretty well covers it all, doesn't it? Nobody's going to have any excuse, brothers and sisters. The gospel should be proclaimed everywhere at all times. I mean, you personally ought to be doing something, at least a little bit of something, to get that gospel to somebody else. No matter what it is, your labor doesn't go out in vain. The Bible says that knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And you know, and I know, that we love the Lord, and we love the gospel, and we know that the gospel is precious, and we know that the gospel is what draws men. The Lord uses the gospel to draw men to Jesus, and draw men to the gospel, and to be saved, and to be born again. And that's where the power of God is in the gospel. And we ought to be doing whatever we can. I personally put together tracts and print them and put them out every day, wherever I'm at. I don't count myself, I put them out, and I leave it up to the Holy Ghost to bring somebody by there to pick them up and to read the gospel. The gospel's on every one of them. And I'm not saying that in a braggadocious way. I'm saying that in a unashamed way. The gospel, I mean, we ought to be doing what little bit that we can. And you can do a little bit. You can do something, something, somewhere, somehow, even if it's a, if you just, whatever you do. But the gospel, the gospel. The gospel should, what are we talking about? We're talking about how, where, and to whom the gospel should be proclaimed. The gospel should be proclaimed to all and every creature. What if you did, if there's such thing as somebody, what about somebody that never heard the gospel? Well, first of all, God wouldn't be fair for that. That he said he died for all men and not offer it to everybody. And God's not like that. Secondly, what if that person that has never heard was you? Wouldn't that be terrible? You die and go to hell in a condemned state, having never been offered salvation from the Lord when it was available? That's not like God. And wouldn't that be terrible if it was? That you could die in a already condemned state without the opportunity, not one time, to be born again and to get out of that state. That's nonsense. That doesn't happen. The Lord gives everybody the opportunity. That's what God is like. He wants people to be saved. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, if a man hears the gospel and denies it, that's a whole different story. Because if you deny Jesus Christ and the gospel one time, the Lord can legitimately put you in hell for eternity. And, or, I mean, you would go to hell anyway, but you would have no excuse. And the Bible says that every man is without excuse because nature itself teaches us. A lot to that. The thing about it is when the gospel comes your way, you better get on that as quick as you can and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and appropriate it to yourself and get saved. And if you're already saved, brothers and sisters, we're talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ, what has afforded us hope and eternal life. And no matter what problems come into our lives in this flesh, in this life, in this miserable, sin-stricken, dark world, we have hope. We have the gospel and all the promises that goes along with it to back us up and to give us hope and to let us wake up tomorrow, and if we're getting ready to go into eternity and go to be with the Lord, praise the Lord. He gets, like Paul said, he said, I'm caught in a strait between two, having a desire to go be with Christ, which is far better. And we should never worry about having to die and go and be with the Lord, or in any kind of circumstance to where our life is going, that we're going to leave this flesh and go into eternity. That's never a worry for a Christian that's been born again by the gospel. Man, things don't do nothing but get better for us. That's what Paul said, which is far better, being with Christ, which is far better. Not even a comparison. But how, where, and to whom the gospel should be preached? The gospel should be preached to all and every creature. The gospel should be proclaimed everywhere at all times. At all times. Romans 15, verse 19 and 20. I read Revelation chapter 14 and verse 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth. and to every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people. What else? Well, the gospel should be proclaimed with great urgency. Great urgency. You know, Christ, the very next thing to happen is the first part of the Advent, is the rapture, the second coming. There's two parts to the second coming. The first is the rapture, and the second is the Advent, the actual second coming of Jesus Christ down here to the earth physically. The first part of it is the rapture, where he doesn't actually come to the earth. We go up to be with him. The bride does. But the very next thing to happen is the first part of the second coming, the rapture. And when that takes place, folks, things are going to change having to do with the gospel. Things are going to change. They're going to revert back to Old Testament ways. Faith and works. Right now, there's no works involved in it. You don't have to do nothing. You're not responsible for any kind of works to be saved. The only thing that saves you is believing what God has said. Jesus Christ died for your sins, he was buried, and he rose again the third day. The gospel. Do you believe that? Will you believe that? Yes, I will. Then you can be born again. All you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. And if you call upon the name of the Lord in that respect of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of the grace of God, then God will save you, and without a shadow of a doubt, he'll save you and write your name in the book of life, and you don't have to worry about it ever again. But when the rapture happens, that's done. It don't happen like that no more. Works comes back into it. That's what the scripture teaches. I don't care what anybody says. All these other preachers preaching that it's the same everywhere. That's not what the Bible teaches. And it's not so. If you're going to get saved, you better get saved now during this dispensation. The gospel should be proclaimed with great urgency. We ought to do what we can, brothers and sisters. I know you care about people's souls, and I know that you would want to do anything and everything that you can do. Just do a small bit. Just get the gospel in the hands of somebody else somehow, some way. And don't try to be like somebody else. Just do it the way that you can, because you love God and you love the gospel and you know it to be true. Put it out. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16, listen to this. For though I preach the gospel, this is Brother Paul, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. That's the way Paul felt about it. He said, I gotta get the gospel out. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. I have nothing to glory of. I'm not bragging about this thing. It's not got anything to do with me. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. People gotta get saved. Yeah, the majority are going to take the wide path, and they're going to die and go to hell. But there are some that want the gospel. Some are seeking it. Wasn't you looking for God? Wasn't you looking for something? Wasn't you looking for something when the gospel came your way? Yeah. And there are many, many more that will receive the Lord Jesus Christ. You just got to get the gospel to them. That's all. You're not responsible for who accepts it or denies it. All your necessity is laid upon me. All our necessity is to get it to them. Just do something. Get it to them. Somehow, some way. The gospel should be proclaimed with great urgency. What else? The gospel should be proclaimed with boldness. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Don't let anybody shame you. There's such thing as suffering shame for the gospel. And then there's such thing as being ashamed of the gospel. You have absolutely no reason in the world or in eternity to be ashamed of Jesus Christ and be ashamed of what has given you eternal life and the gift that God has given you and granted to you and done for you. You don't ever be ashamed of that. Don't ever let anybody make you ashamed of it. And don't be ashamed of it on purpose. Because the enemy and the world tries to make you ashamed of it. You will suffer shame because of it. They'll shame you. You know how you take your finger and rub it on the other finger. Shame on you. Shame on you, you Christian. They'll try to do that, sure. But as far as being ashamed, you have absolutely nothing to be ashamed about. And you have absolutely no reason to be ashamed of the Lord. Not at all. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 through 20. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may be speak boldly as I ought to speak. That's the way Paul felt about it. He said that I open my mouth boldly. He said, and pray for me. He said, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me. He's saying, pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel. Even the devil's messing with Paul, trying to tell him, shut up. Shut up. Don't say nothing. And he's no different. He does the same thing to us. Tries to make you ashamed of saying anything about Jesus Christ and the gospel that saves men's souls. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 to 20. That's what we just read. And here's the last one for this class. The gospel will be proclaimed as a witness and testimony. What are we talking about? How, where, and to whom the gospel should be proclaimed. The gospel should be proclaimed to all and every creature. The gospel should be proclaimed everywhere at all times. The gospel should be proclaimed with great urgency. The gospel should be proclaimed with boldness. And finally, the gospel should be proclaimed as a witness and testimony. You got a testimony? You have a witness? Listen to this, Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. It's going to be preached. And, you know, you can preach the gospel by proclaiming of being a witness to it. That's how you were saved. You say, I know the gospel is right. I know the gospel is real. Well, how do you know that? Because the Lord saved me. The Lord saved me back in 1981 in Ramstein, Germany, at Rhineland Baptist Church, under the preaching of Roy Grigsby, my first pastor. And I had absolutely no idea why I was at that church that day. And, I do now, but not that day. And the gospel was preached. And the only thing I'd done was responded to it and stepped out in the aisle. When I went back and they took me in the back to pray, I didn't even pray. That guy prayed. I said, you pray. And he prayed. And I don't even remember what he prayed. But the Lord saved me when I heard the gospel. And I believe I was saved as soon as I said in my heart, I want that. And yes, Lord. And I stepped out in the aisle. I believe the Lord saved me that very second. I believe that's when I was saved. I don't know. But when I left there, something happened to me. There wasn't no fireworks. There wasn't no this, that, and the other going off like some people, which is fine. But that ain't the way it done me. But when the very next day, they had given me a New Testament, a little small New Testament to carry around. And I was in the military at the time. And all I could do, all I had on my mind and in my heart, was to read that New Testament. I had a desire to be in that New Testament and find out something about this Jesus. And I don't even know why that. But there was a change. Because the gospel had been preached to me, and I responded to it ignorantly, didn't have any idea anything about Jesus Christ or anything about the gospel or anything about salvation or anything about anything except the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I will believe on him, I can have eternal life and have my sins forgiven. All I knew is he was right about my sins and me being a sinner. And if this man, Jesus Christ, could save me, I want it. And I stepped out. And things have been different for 44 years now. He's never left me. It's always been the gospel in my life, when I was introduced to it, has always been the same. It's never changed. And the book has never changed. And the truth has never changed. Now, he's been teaching me and teaching me and teaching me and whipping me and whipping me and whipping me all the way up until right this very second. And I've learned a lot more than I knew back then when I met the gospel. You see that thing? You have the same thing. You have a witness and a testimony that you can unashamedly speak as truth, absolute truth. Nobody can argue with you when you say, the Lord saved me. He saved me through the gospel. Nobody can tell you, no, he didn't. They don't have to believe it, but they can't deny you. They can't say that you don't know what you're talking about or that it didn't happen, because you're a witness, you're a testimony that it did happen. And I can't explain it. It's a mystery all the way up to today, but I've learned a lot more in the scriptures about it. And it's still by faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. And there it is. The gospel will be proclaimed as a witness and testimony, and you should. If you don't use anything else, you could sit down and write out how you got saved and put it on a track and put the gospel of the grace of God, invitation to receive Jesus Christ, and put the scriptures are what does the work, you know that, and put them on the back of that track and put your testimony on it and just pass them out whenever you can, wherever you can. And you're witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're getting the gospel out. What have we been talking about, brothers and sisters? We've been talking about how the gospel was and is proclaimed. It was proclaimed in the Old Testament. It was proclaimed by the prophets. It was proclaimed by John the Baptist, and it was proclaimed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was and is proclaimed by chosen men. The one that led me to the Lord was chosen, Pastor Roy Grigsby. He's gone to be with the Lord now. If you go to Barnhouse Ministries and look under Honorable Mentions, click into that part of it, you'll see Honorable Mentions, all the men that were in my life and women that were in my life that the Lord put to teach me and to preach to me and to win me to him and to just Honorable Mentions. And you'll see Brother Roy Grigsby there, my first pastor. He deserves an honorable mention because he's the one that led me to the one that gave me eternal life. Amen. All right. And then we talked about how, where, and to whom the gospel should be proclaimed. The gospel should be proclaimed to all and every creature. The gospel should be proclaimed everywhere at all times. And the gospel should be proclaimed with great urgency and should be proclaimed with boldness. and the gospel should be proclaimed as a witness and testimony. Amen? All right, well, that's our class for today. We're going to stop right there. And let me give you these scriptures, and we will stop right there, and we'll come back and have us another class after this. Are you ready? Good class, huh? Good class. You have a testimony. You have a testimony for the gospel. And the gospel needs to be proclaimed, and we need to do our part as sons of God and saints and people that care and know why we care. We do care because we love the Lord, and we love the Lord Jesus Christ, and we love the gospel, and we know it to be true, and we just need to do our part as best as we know how or best that we can. Amen? And don't try to do it. It's like Paul said, I'm not trying to build on another man. If another man's preaching the gospel here, I don't go there. I'm not going to mess him up. Just do it wherever you can. You ain't got to be like nobody except the Lord. Be like what God the Holy Ghost teaches you to be like. But one thing that you can do is put your testimony down, write it down, because it's not a lie, it's true. And write it all down as best you know how and just tell it like it is. That's just as plain and elementary as possible. And then put it in writing, print you a tract, and put the gospel message on the back of it for them to read after they read your testimony. And somebody will get saved and believe. That's all it takes is one time through, read it, and then read the gospel and say, I want that. And pray and ask the Lord to save them, and bam, they're saved. How the gospel was and is proclaimed. Here's the scriptures. Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. Genesis chapter 22, verse 18. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2 and 6. Romans chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. Mark chapter 1, verse 1 through 7. Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9 through 12. Now those were the scriptures for our part of our study today, how the gospel was and is proclaimed. And here are the scriptures that we went over and read and studied, how, where, and to whom the gospel should be proclaimed. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. Romans chapter 15, verse 19 and 20. Revelation chapter 14, verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 and verse 18 to 20, excuse me. And the last one for today, brothers and sisters, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. And there we go. That's our class for today. That's our sixth class in our study of the letter G, the second G in the ABCs of Christian Growth series. And our sixth class having to do with the gospel. Aren't you glad you're finding this stuff out and learning it from God's Word, and you can believe it and you can trust it and you can just not even have to worry about whether or not it's true or not, because it's from God's Word and everything just blends together so perfectly? Aren't you seeing that? Aren't you seeing that? There's no confusion. God's not the author of confusion. When we read His words and we study His words, everything just kind of blends right in perfectly in unity, and it's beautiful. All these other things, and they're trying to get in the Greek and the Hebrew, and trying to say, well, this is a better translation, and blabbity blabbity blab blab, and all that nonsense that doesn't do anything but ask more, bring up more questions and more confusion and everything else. The Lord's not part of any of that mess. That's not the Lord. The Lord said that He's called us to peace, to peace, to peace. All right, well, we're going to stop right there. And when we come back on this next class, we are going to talk about and begin with something called the attributes of those that proclaim the gospel. Some attributes of those that proclaim the gospel according to the Bible, according to what God's Word says. Attributes of those that proclaim the gospel. What are they like? What's some of their attributes? The ones that proclaim the gospel. We'll talk about that. It's Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I love you with Christ's love, and I appreciate you, and I admire you for your discipline and for loving your Lord enough to study His Word. I'll talk to you on the next one. Bye-bye.